Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'm bouncing up and down in my chair. I can't help it. It was such a great Wednesday. Once we get over the hump, which our hump show is Tuesday night into Wednesday, I kind of feel like, ooh, we're cruising toward the weekend. And because this weekend, I will be heading back to Cuba for the third straight summer. I get to see friends of mine that I only see once a year and work with 50 kids and teens and do some teaching and have some fun. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So now it's starting to get here. Now it's starting to be real, all up in the real and the feel. Wait until you hear, by the way, what Tiger Woods had to say about being at Carnoustie again this year and being at the Open for the first time in 4 years, speaking of all the feels. Anyway, so it was a good day. I slept, I ate, I had ice cream because I ran, I wrote most of a new blog post. It was just one of those days that was, plus the weather was beautiful. I hope that you enjoy. Oh, and wait a minute. On Wednesday night, because there were no sporting events, guess what I found on TV? Gone with the Wind. It was wonderful. Nice. I know. I couldn't watch the whole thing because, I mean, who can watch the whole thing on a work day? It's a really long movie, but I taped the rest of it. I watched a good portion of it. I taped the rest. It is my favorite old movie, along with Sound of Music. Those are my favorite old movies.
And so, I wanted it to be something I never forgot.
I will never forget it. And so that was another reason why I enjoyed the day, is because as I was eating my dinner, I stumbled upon Gone with the Wind and sat there for a little bit and was able to watch some of it. Kevin, who routinely listens to the show, said he went to see Incredibles 2 with his wife, so that was his entertainment. Yeah, yeah, it's a good movie too. See, it's a good night to watch something other than sports. So I hope that you had a great Wednesday as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are going to spend some time in Toronto now because the big news on Tuesday night broke during our show all Wednesday. Kawhi Leonard heading to the San Antonio Spurs along with Danny Green in exchange for all-star guard DeMar DeRozan. And it's been an uproar from Toronto fans. I haven't really heard anything from San Antonio Spurs fans. Not much anyway. So Twitter, Facebook, you're welcome to weigh in. But we want to spend some time with Eric Smith, who is the radio play-by-play voice of the Raptors. You'll also catch him on the TV sidelines here and there. And Eric, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Over the last 24 hours, it's been about 24 hours now, we find out this big news, DeMar DeRozan, he's a staple. What's been the reaction from those Toronto fans and other employees that you've crossed paths with?
I'll say that, you know, within the organization, there's no doubt that DeMar is going to be missed as much on the floor as he will be off it. And it's something that I even mentioned a couple of times on the radio today on some other shows and on TV and even some social media posts. I have absolutely nothing bad to say about DeMar DeRozan, the person, let alone the player, but he is as good a man that I've come across in professional sports and in working in sports media for over 20 years. He's a stand-up individual, unbelievable to deal with on a personal level, one-on-one, in terms of if you want to talk about writers and broadcasters and the way that he dealt with the media, let alone the way that he dealt with fans and interacting with folks, stopping for autographs, whether it be at home or on the road, and, you know, active and involved in the community. And a guy that wore Toronto literally and figuratively on his chest, even more so than any other Raptor in franchise history. We can sit here and talk, Amy, about the greats that have played in Toronto from Damon Stoudemire to Tracy McGrady to, of course, Vince Carter and Chris Bosh and DeMar DeRozan. If he isn't at the top of the list, he's sharing the mantle with Vince Carter in terms of not just greatest player of all time, but when you factor in who he was or who he is as a person and the way that he represented this city and this country, he's going to be missed big time. And I think that's why reaction today has been mixed in the sense that most people, most fans, are recognizing that assuming Kawhi Leonard is 100% healthy and assuming that he's coming to the Raptors and hopefully ready to play at least 82 games, and who knows beyond that what happens at this time next year and what conversation would happen at this time next year. I think most people are recognizing that Kawhi Leonard is a hell of a talent and the Raptors had to take this chance. It's just unfortunate that it came at the cost of DeRozan, because he is no doubt a fan favorite, the guy that is going to be in a lot of Raptors' hearts and minds for years to come, and folks already talking about whether his number 10 jersey might hang for the Raptors in Toronto one day.
Mm. How much of this do you think was about making some kind of a change to send a jolt through the franchise, maybe through the locker room too, but we already saw Dwayne Casey get fired and now trading away one of the franchise players. But after the way the playoffs ended the last 2 years, I wondered if something like this would happen.
Yeah, you know what? I want to be careful. I say this because I want to make sure that I'm not sounding like I'm laying this at the feet of DeRozan solely. Because I'm the type of guy in me that will slice up the pie and say, hey, you know, DeMar DeRozan's got to take a slice, and so does Kyle Lowry, and so did Dwayne Casey, and so did every player on the team. And that's not to sound cliche, but I don't think you can lay, and not to imply that you were, but I don't think you can lay the fault of what went wrong with the Raptors the last number of years in the postseason solely at the feet of DeRozan or
of
Lowry, of the two of them together.
Right.
That said, this is a team that has been one of the more consistent teams in the entire NBA, let alone the Eastern Conference, over the last 4 or 5 years. This is also a team that has run into a generational player, arguably a top three, top five, some might say top two all-time in LeBron James specifically, and he / the Cavs have ousted the Raptors in 3 straight years. I think, though, that if you step back and look at the core of the team, and of course the core primarily being the 1-2 punch of Lowry and DeRozan, and you can add, you know, a Valanciunas, or at least over the last couple of years, an Ibaka to the mix, let alone Dwayne Casey as the head coach up until just a couple of months ago, there is something to be said, or I can at least see the school of thought that, have you gone far enough or as far as you can go with this core, and is it time to try something new? And with no disrespect intended to DeMar DeRozan, who is coming off all NBA honors in terms of second team, multi-time All-Star, even over the last couple of seasons, the guy that was probably in the top 10 in terms of MVP ladder and rankings, et cetera, a top, 20, 25 at least player in the NBA overall, he's a hell of a talent. But when you stack him up against Kawhi Leonard, again, putting the caveat of when healthy, we're talking about a top 3 to 5 player in the league in Kawhi Leonard. A guy that, with no disrespect to DeMar, is a better defensive player than DeRozan, a better three-point shooter than DeRozan. The Raptors would not have an opportunity, I believe, in unrestricted free agency to lure and to sign a player of Kawhi Leonard's caliber and talent. So the best way to get a player like that is via trade. And, of course, we always forget in making a trade for a top talent, you got to give something to get something. And in a roundabout way, it's hard to see this, I'm sure, especially if you're DeMar DeRozan, it's almost a compliment that you're the one being put in this deal for Kawhi Leonard, in the sense that, you know, the other team is seeing something in you. You know, they didn't necessarily ask for, maybe they did, or they saw more value in you over Kyle Lowry. They wanted you back in return. They wanted your all-star resume. They wanted you to plug into their team alongside LaMarcus Aldridge and DeJounte Murray and the rest. That's the guy that they wanted. So that's the other side of the coin here. You had to give up talent to get talent. And I think for the Raptors, recognizing that the window might be closing a little bit when you factor in Lowry's contract status, Ibaka's contract status, even Valanciunas for that matter, being able to hold on to young pieces and keeping OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, and having Fred VanVleet sign a new contract, and still having DeLon Wright, there's reason to believe that, all right, we've got the future hopefully taken care of with some good young pieces, but the window on the current core closing, so can we take the swing for the fence and acquire an MVP-caliber player in Kawhi Leonard, arguably the best two-way player in the game in Kawhi Leonard, and can we make a bit of a deeper run with him than what we did with DeMar? And I think it's a chance or a gamble, if you want to call it that, worth taking.
Eric Smith is the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors. Sometimes you'll catch him on the TV sidelines as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What if it's only for 1 year? Then would your tune change, or would you feel differently about the trade?
You know what? Obviously, it's going to sting if Kawhi Leonard walks in a year. And the good thing is, you know, and I know the comparisons have been made, but I hate to sound cliche here or like the tired broken record, but you know, if Oklahoma City can lure Paul George back to the Thunder, when we all, or at least many of us, believe that Paul George was destined to go to Los Angeles as well as a California kid and a guy who, you know, grew up with dreams and desires to put on that Laker jersey, much like Kawhi has talked about, then I have to have a faith, at least, that Toronto can do the same. Now, listen, I'm a Toronto guy, so I'll admit my bias, no doubt about it. And I don't want the hate mail or the tweets or the anger coming from Oklahoma City. But I'll stack my city, Toronto, up against Oklahoma City any day of the week in terms of the you know, just the city, the country, the people, the diversity, everything about Toronto that Toronto has to offer, let alone the fan base, let alone on the floor, the basketball itself. And heck, for that matter, let's be real about it, the Eastern Conference. You know, if you've got a chance to maybe have an arguably easier path in the East, not to knock what Boston will be, what Philadelphia will be alongside Toronto is, in my eyes, the three best teams, not to knock what Milwaukee or Washington or Detroit might be, et cetera, and other teams in the East. It's not like having to deal with Golden State or Houston or the Lakers, and the list goes on of the talented teams of the Western Conference. So I think you've got a lot of reasons to sell Kawhi. Now, to answer your question specifically, if you watch, will I still like the trade? DeMar DeRozan has 2 years left with the player option, but as I noted a moment ago, you've got Kyle Lowry entering into the final of 2 years. Serge Ibaka, you know, assuming that these guys are all on the team come training camp, 2 years as well. So this, to me, was already a window that was somewhat closing, or a window in time that could be closing based on the core that you had. So you've kind of fast-tracked that a little bit more in that you only have Kawhi potentially controllable for 1 year. But as I noted, to not give up your top two prospects, either of your top two prospects, in this trade, in OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, and to still have those young pieces that I spoke about, in DeLon Wright and Fred VanVleet, and to not have mortgaged your future with multiple first-round picks going the other way as well, I still think that even if Kawhi were to walk next year, you would still look at this and say it was a gamble worth taking. The only possible way that this is complete egg on the face is if for some reason Kawhi doesn't report, and I really don't think that would be the case, or if it turns out that he is not healthy or turns out to only end up playing, you know, 40 games, 20 games, whatever the heck it might be. That's the only way I think that this could be a negative, because I think you're at a moment in time, again, as an organization coming up to almost 25 years in the league, that if you've got a chance to get a top three, top five talent, you have to take that opportunity. You have to take that chance. And I think at some point you got to roll the dice and then just trust that you'll be able to do the proper recruiting, and hope that as well that, you know, we talk about the absolute worst case scenario, Amy. I suppose the bad cases but better than worst case scenario, if that makes sense, is can you at least make a sign and trade, or could you at least maybe even trade him outright at the deadline if you're getting strong and true indications that he's not coming back? I don't think that's the intention. I think the intention is to have him, to keep him, and to want to re-sign him and hope that he'll be enticed by the 5 years and the $190 million versus the $140 and 4 years somewhere else. But I'm just saying your options are now open to a lot of different scenarios where the absolute worst is he walks for nothing. But I can't believe that Masai Ujiri would allow himself to be put in that position to have nothing showing for Kawhi Leonard 12 months from now.
Eric Smith of the Raptors Radio Network with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. How does Danny Green fit with the Raptors?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, because nobody's really talked about it today. And I think it's actually a hell of a – I don't even think it's fair to call it a throw-in. I think it's a hell of a move for Ujiri to be able to get Danny Green in this scenario.
He's a championship-winning starter.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, we're not talking a 3-and-D guy like Kawhi Leonard, but a guy that can play, and he's a hell of a defensive player, among the best in the league, I think, defensively, and instantly comes to Toronto as arguably the best 3-point shooter. I mean, yeah, you've got a C.J. Miles and Kyle Lowry showing, you know, solid prowess over the last number of seasons from the perimeter, too, but Danny Green might instantly be the best 3-point shooter on this team. And when I start thinking, and listen, call me out if I've got my rose-colored glasses on right now, but when I think about, especially defensively, let alone the 3-point shooting of both Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green coming to a team with a gritty, solid, hard-nosed, defensive-minded guy as well in a Kyle Lowry who led the league in charges drawn last year and kind of plays that bulldog style with a young player like OG Anunoby, who's now already making a name for himself as a growing defensive player and a guy who's shown some ability to stretch out too, and a Fred VanVleet with the edge that he plays with and whatnot. I think Toronto has got this kind of, I tell you, somebody said to me earlier, Amy, they've got the kind of team that might have been perfect for Dwayne Casey. When we think about Dwayne Casey and the defense that he loves to play, but that might actually fit well with a Nick Nurse as a rookie coach. He's going to have his hands full, no doubt. However, if you've got a core of guys that already have it ingrained in their style and in their psyche to play that defensive style, and then Nurse comes with his creative offensive schemes, this could be a nice little fit for Toronto. And you start thinking about the various combinations that the Raptors could put on the floor at various positions and the flexibility they have and the defense that they have. Again, call me the homer if I'm being a homer here. I think they've got a heck of a team, and they're better today than they were tomorrow. And I even thought, they're better today than they were yesterday. And yesterday I thought that they were still amongst the top three in the conference. They're absolutely there. Coming off a 59-win season and adding Kawhi Leonard, I think there's a real chance for Toronto to have a special season ahead.
You can follow Eric on Twitter, @Eric_Smith. That's a double underscore. And you can hear him on the Raptors radio network, occasionally catch him on the TV sidelines. I know it's been a really busy day for you, but thank you so much for a couple of minutes. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Amy.
So there's some reaction from north of the border in Toronto, where they lose the face of the franchise. They lose a guy who loved the Raptors and who wanted to be there. Is he, Eric, reflective of how you feel? And would it still be worth it for anyone who might like the trade? Would it still be worth it if Kawhi was only there for 1 year? Let's say the Raptors got to the NBA Finals. Is it then worth it if it's only for 1 year? You can find me on Twitter, @ALawRadio, and also on our Facebook page. There's a spot there, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I still have a bunch of stuff I want to get to, even in this hour of the show. I am going to share with you the lessons learned, the cautionary tales over the last 24 hours that I think can be applied to all human beings and not just the two athletes who happen to be the ones learning them at the moment. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We're also keeping our eyes on the start of the Open Championship, which is taking place in Carnoustie. The defending champion is Jordan Spieth, and Scotland looks absolutely beautiful on this afternoon. For us, of course, it's middle of the night, 3:27 Eastern time, 12:27 Pacific time. But I did see Steph Curry tweeting about whether or not he should go to bed or just watch wall-to-wall coverage of the Open Championship. As you know, he's a big-time golfer and would like to play professionally, has in fact played in some professional tournaments. So I did see that Phil Mickelson is already on the course. He's one of the golfers who's out there and teed off early. He parred his first hole. He was on the second hole when I just looked up at the Golf Channel coverage that's on here in my studio. Early on, the leader is at -3, Eric Van Ruin. So there's a long, long, long way to go, and we're going to get some audio from Tiger Woods in his first Open since 2015. Rory McIlroy, who, of course, is a guy that would love, for personal reasons, to be able to win this trophy. And then Jordan Spieth, who is the defending champ, maybe could take home his fourth major in a back-to-back victory. We'll see. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Jack, who's in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
Just listening to Eric Smith and his glib comments about the basketball. When you wanted to know what we were really happy about up here in Toronto, I had a minute on your program the other night saying the John Tavares signing for hockey has just got the hockey community thinking that, you know, this is going to be a big year coming up now with Austin Matthews and Kadri and John Tavares. And we haven't had hockey since 67, since... anyway, you need somebody gliver than myself to talk about how the feeling was basketball could do anything they wanted this year, with the Blue Jays not doing much and the hockey scene just waiting to get going.
So you think that this is a good move for the Raptors, or no?
I think it's an excellent move for the Raptors. No, the basketball community has a community of itself. This is still, I don't know, hockey still rules out here, and the Blue Jays have been pretty, pretty popular. And no, they, as far as my limited following of the basketball, they've got, you know, the playoffs and had a pretty good season in basketball and then got to the playoffs. And people, like, unfortunately, DeRozan hasn't really shown that greatly in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, it's everybody. I mean, the Raptors have hit the brick wall the last 2 years when
exactly,
it comes to the postseason.
Right,
so,
right.
As
and
Eric Smith mentioned, there's plenty of blame to go around. And I agree with that. I was expecting and hoping that the Raptors would have a bit of a shakeup. I just didn't know what it would look like. It started with Dwayne Casey, now, you know, one big-time player, their face of the franchise. So it's unfortunate that it had to be this. It would have been a whole lot better if they had maybe played up to their abilities and played with some heart and some desire against the Cavaliers. Even if they lost in that second round, it would have been great if they had shown a little more fight. Maybe then this wouldn't have been necessary. But that's kind of the issue, is that the way they went out, it's not so fact that they went out against Cleveland again, it's how they did it and how they laid down.
Well, you're expressing it. How many of us, I'm 87 years old, so my memory isn't very good and all the, you know, facts of it. But there was certainly very disappointing the way the playoffs
yeah.
have turned out. And something had to be done, I think.
Right. Well, they did it, Jack.
They did it.
So we'll
right.
see. We'll see how it works out. There's still obviously a couple months before training camp.
It was so interesting yesterday morning. I forget who it was saying they got the first of this story about this deal going through. And I'm thinking, gosh, about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
I heard it on this ladies, Amy's program, all
Thank
about
you.
It. And she.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate that.
He was way ahead of
that's
all.
That's right. We had it at 3:30 a.m. Eastern time.
And that's when I heard it.
Perfect.
Being an old guy wide awake at 3:30 in the morning.
Well, you're not alone. There are plenty of us who are awake at this hour, regardless of time zone. There are lots of people who are still awake. Thank you so much, Jack. It's good
Thank
to hear
you,
from
Amy,
you.
Thank you, Amy, for letting me. Say a few words.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Enjoy Cuba.
Oh, thank you. I will. It's going to be a lot of hard work and hot and humid, but I will. I am looking forward to seeing my friends and to working with the kiddos. All right, so our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls. My cautionary tales, I swear they are straight ahead. I'm going to have to be a little more serious than I am right this second. That's sometimes not the easiest thing for me to do, as I tend to be fairly irreverent and goofy when it comes to sports. But these are two things that I think are important. Also, Jim Kelly making a speech at the ESPYs. And while we aren't going to play that speech, there are a couple of things I wrote down from it that I wanted to share. And he's definitely an inspiration now off the football field, even more than he was on.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We're going to get back to your phone calls. Thanks so much for tuning into the show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all packaged up at geico.com. 855-212-4227. Plus, you're finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Craig says, I know for sure that as soon as Kawhi lands in the six, he's going to want to stay. He's referring to Toronto. The city is so cosmopolitan. Great people, great art and culture, great fans in Jurassic Park. I love Toronto much more than LA, and that's coming from an Albertan. He says the Texas of Canada. There's an emoji with a cowboy hat. That's cute. I need to start using that one. I don't know, Craig, that it's about the city itself. Apparently, now this is what I've heard from a friend of mine who is an NBA insider. Apparently, Kawhi hates the cold. Now, it's not cold all the time in Toronto, obviously. They have nice seasons in Toronto. But in the winter, it's cold. And when is basketball played? A good portion of it. In the winter. And so it's not personal against the city. Again, what I've heard from friends of mine who work in the industry, who know Kawhi, is that he just doesn't like the cold. So when the All-Star, was it 2 years ago that the All-Star break, the All-Star festivities for the NBA were in Toronto? Will you check the year just so I don't get it wrong? What I heard from an NBA insider, and actually he tweeted it, Rick Bucher, he tweeted it during the day on Wednesday, is that Kawhi spent his entire All-Star break indoors because he doesn't like the cold. Now, there is an extensive, underground, kind of malls and passageways that connect the buildings. And again, during the rest of the year, it's not winter. It's like any other city in the Northeast or, that would be in the snow belt or an area where they will get the four seasons. I mean, there are seasons, but basketball, a lot of it is a winter sport. I really hope that he gives it a shot. And I think Toronto's got a full year now to try to woo him to put its best foot forward, not just as a city, because he's going to have to get acclimated, but as a franchise, as a fan base, as a winning team. But Craig, thank you for your tweet, A-Law Radio. Randall says on Twitter, as a Pistons fan, Leonard to Toronto troubles me. King James moves out, Leonard moves in. Ew. That's a great response. Johnny says on Twitter, I think it's a win-win for both the Raptors and the Spurs. So yeah, I'd love to hear your responses. And again, you can do on Twitter or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I did see that we had a couple people weighing in on Facebook. Kevin says, silly move by the Raptors. They will have a lot of front office jobs to fill after an upcoming disaster in 2018. So Kevin is predicting that this season will be even worse than last year for Toronto. Jeff says the Spurs got the better part of the deal because no one knows if Kawhi can play anymore. I think that's a little bit. That's a little bit overstated. He can play. Guys don't forget how to play. This is something he's been doing his entire life. When Steph Curry sat out 12 weeks, essentially, except for one game with injuries this year, did he forget how to shoot? I mean, when guys tear ACLs, do they forget? They miss an entire year. Do they forget? Is anybody worried about Carson Wentz forgetting how to throw a football or forgetting how to move around behind the line? You don't forget. It's muscle memory. Now, you can be rusty. You can need some time to get acclimated, but Kawhi's not going to get back on that basketball court in a game that counts for quite a while. He's got time.
I'll freaking give him my paycheck.
I can't wait for football. Do you know Nick Foles has a book out and he's doing a book tour? I see him everywhere. Now I want to read the book, of course. But the closer we get to training camps, the more excited I get about just seeing guys running around out there again, even if the quarterbacks do have red jerseys. So they've been writing their books, they've been making appearances, they've been doing all kinds of fun stuff, charity projects, golf tournaments, everything else. But it's almost time to focus on football again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
No one wanted us.
Apparently, the Eagles ran out of... Excuse me, I just hiccuped. I don't know why. It's like I'm 8 or something. Apparently, the Eagles ran out of tickets for their practices. Fans are buying them in droves just to go to practice, and so they ran out.
We're talking about practice.
Good for you. Ooh, what's with the hiccups? Wait, I need to take a drink of water. Does that actually work? Can someone come scare me, please? The problem is you can't get behind me because my back is to the wall and there's no window there. There used to be a window in our studio. Do you remember? It was pre-Chris. He wasn't here. Isaac, do you remember the window that we used to have?
It was glorious.
It was glorious. Thank you. That's the perfect word. All right. Cautionary tale number one. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for.
Be careful what you ask for.
Whoa. That's amazing. I forgot about that, Cedric Maxwell. Amazing. Make sure you're prepared for the response. Make sure you're ready for the answer. Kawhi Leonard wanted out of San Antonio, so he asked for a trade. He didn't feel like he was treated fairly by the organization. He felt like his teammates betrayed him the way they responded to his injury. So what did he do? He cut bait. He alienated himself from the team to the point where he wasn't even with them during the postseason. Apparently, the quad injury was so bad he couldn't sit on the bench with his teammates. And he dug in his heels about the team trading him. Despite the attempts of Greg Popovich to smooth things over, despite R.C. Buford coming out publicly and saying, our first choice is to keep Kawhi. Despite all of that, he wanted out. And he made it very clear he wasn't changing his mind. But you got to be careful what you ask for. The problem is, Kawhi only has so much control over the matter, right? Still has another year on his contract, which meant the Spurs had most of the control. Greg Popovich and the San Antonio front office could decide when, where, how, who, if at all. The Spurs could have done absolutely nothing and forced him to play there.
For what?
Or forced his hand. Thank you, Terry Collins. And so instead of landing in Los Angeles, which is what he wanted, what happens? He gets dispatched to Toronto. Amazing city. Fantastic fan base. Coming off a franchise record 59 wins and another playoff appearance, but it's not what he wanted. It's not even in the same country. It's not even the same conference. When you have little to no control over a situation, you better be damn careful what you ask for and be ready for whatever the answer might be. That's the problem with being an employee under contract. Because if you boil it down to its basest level, that's what Kawhi is. Once again, we are staring at the face of sports as a business. I mean, we love it, right? As fans, when things go our way, we're on top of the world. Our heart is full. There's an adrenaline rush, blah, 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 blah. It's great. But we're fans. To the athletes and to the teams, to the owners, it's a very lucrative business. It's their career. It's their livelihood. And at the very basest level, Kawhi is an employee of a team that still owned his rights for another year, which means Kawhi had almost no say. So cautionary tale, whether you're an NBA basketball player, one of the best in the country, whether you're a talk show host, whether you are a plumber, whether you are an insurance adjuster, whether you are a teacher, you better be careful what you ask for, especially when you have little to no control over the outcome.
It's your job.
And that's the deal with Greg Popovich. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy.
If you're a plumber and you don't do your job, you don't get any work.
And so here is Pop taking the high road for sure. He's not going to rip Kawhi Leonard. He said nothing but positive things about Kawhi. But his quote about acquiring DeMar DeRozan, I couldn't be happier. Why? Because it worked out great for the Spurs. I mean, would they have liked to have kept Kawhi for sure? They invested a lot in him, and he helped them win a championship. But when you're the entity, in this case, the team that has all the control, you can work this out in a way that's best for you and not necessarily have to worry about the employee. One cautionary tale. There is yet another to share. Plus, Jim Kelly makes an incredible appearance at the ESPYs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.